Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm just talking to myself. I've not been playing up to my standards. So even tonight, you look at the night. Like tonight, I didn't shot the ball well, and I didn't play well. So, just mad at myself. So just gotta, just frustrated. Just gotta keep trying to get better every single day.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. Marks and Reese on a Monday, the day after we got shushed last night by Joel Embiid. Hi, Ike, John and Ike, Marks and Reese.
What's up there, Johnny Marks?
Oh, nothing at all. Just the superstar in town that I've hated for the longest time, probably out of anybody. Last night's telling the crowd base to bleep off.
Shut the front door. That's what he said.
Yep. Hey, but listen, he needs to be more of an a-hole, and he needs to be having fun when playing basketball. God forbid he just goes out and plays basketball and plays well without having to have this, something else is wrong. Mr. Erratic himself. He's just such an emotional roller coaster, and I get it with players. Sometimes you're going to have those guys that are just kind of up and down. But when he's your franchise player and he's your big guy, that's a problem. And you're just seeing more of the Joel Embiid roller coaster show this year, Ike. That's what you're seeing. And he played well last night, so that's great.
Yeah, I think, with athletes, sometimes things that make them tick, things that make them perform at their best, things that they use to get them motivated, you got to kind of just leave them in their element, right? And I don't think he wants to start a back and forth with his own fan base, but he certainly needs to be, for him, I'm imagining, he needs to be in a certain frame of mind in order to play well, in order to be comfortable playing, in order to play instinctually, right? I think what we've seen and heard out of Joel Embiid more often this year than I think I have through any point in his career is that he feels uncomfortable, whether it's the role on the team, whether it's allowing his personality to show and be himself. It's almost as if he has to be a robot out there playing, and it's not allowed him to be at his best. And we see it. We see it in the body language. Right? We see it in the moping. We see it in some of these ridiculous excuses he's used for why he isn't necessarily playing better, why he isn't necessarily playing hard all the time. And, I mean, listen, you do that against the Bulls. Okay, you picked a great opponent to sort of flex and stick your chest out against. I think we want to see that tomorrow night against the Clippers. It'd be nice if you do that tomorrow night against one of the best teams in the NBA, if you play that way. Here's my thing. This team isn't going to reach the heights that we think it's supposed to unless he's leading the way. If I don't care about what, Ben gives you this and they look like this when Embiid's not out there, yeah, that's all fine and good in the regular season. In the postseason, when the game slows down, and you need a go-to guy, someone that can get you a bucket in the half-court offense, unless they add one of the top nine players somehow in the next month or so, this is your best option. He is your best option. And this team, this coach, since he's going to be here, needs to make sure that guy is filling that. We want to talk about his immaturity and all this other stuff, how he needs to grow up. Well, you know what? That's not going to happen from a mental standpoint over the next few months. So you know what you have to do in order to get the best out of him? You got to cater to him.
Yeah, that's what they've been doing.
You got to cater to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're not
No,
wrong.
That's what they need to start doing more of.
Okay, well, I mean, like, here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Jack already put the question up, is Joel Embiid shushing the crowd a problem? And in itself, like, I mean, as long as it doesn't, it's not a trend. As long as he's not at war with the fan base,
right?
I don't think it's a problem. But it's a problem in this aspect. He's just a guy that doesn't get it. He's just a guy that is on a completely different planet than everybody else. Like, it's really not that difficult. Just play hard and play to your best capabilities and put in an effort that we can see, and there'll be no problem.
Effort, schmeffort. It's be productive. That's ultimately what we want out of players. Players, now, it's okay to play hard when you're TJ McConnell and we don't expect you to score, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to play hard and give maximum effort when you're a less talented person. When you are a talented player and you get paid a lot of money, just giving effort ain't enough. You had better produce in this town. Mm-hmm. You had better produce. So ultimately, that's what matters the most.
No, you're right.
That's what matters the most is producing. So that's what he needs to do is produce.
No, production, absolutely. That's what we care about. That's what matters. Yeah. But we're also willing to.
I mean, Ben's running around like a chicken with his head cut off, swatting balls, stealing balls, and doing all this other stuff. And he still drives people crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay. And I think the fans want to like Embiid more than mm-hmm. like Ben Simmons, and I think both of them.
Well, I think they want to like both of them.
But to me, like, they both drive me crazy for different reasons.
Right.
Ben, if you could combine them, we said sure. this on Friday, if you could make one ultimate player, that would be it. Mm. But Joel Embiid, just everything that he does tells me he doesn't get it, and that's why the shushing's a big deal to me, is he doesn't get it. He had a tough week, right? He was criticized again by Shaq and by Charles Barkley. He's obviously paying attention on Twitter. He's obviously paying attention to what people are saying nationally and locally, and he's not mature enough to be able to handle it. He's not able to handle it, and that's where that came from. Yeah. The minute there's adversity with Joel Embiid, what happens?
Listen, I don't want to hear you had a tough week.
Well, what I'm saying is, like,
he didn't look like he had a tough week when he was in Miami.
But that
looked
that's
okay then.
But on Sunday night, like, he was feeling the week. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be able to handle it, because he should.
Yeah.
I'm not making excuses for him. What I'm telling you is
this guy's
soft.
Al Horford telling everybody to shut up Friday.
Well, he didn't say it last night because he didn't freaking score.
Yeah,
Al Horford.
Well, yeah, but that's where it started. There's our leader. Now, hold on. This team, you mean to tell me this team has gotten to the point where they're telling the crowd to shut up?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing now?
Yep. Is it a problem? Is Joel Embiid shushing the crowd a problem? That is our Twitter question to open the show.
Al Horford is the one who started this nonsense.
He said, no, he's starting to lead, Ike.
Yeah, exactly.
You're looking for a leader. There you go. He started the shushing. Not only is it a problem, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because it shows you that he doesn't get it, and I'm talking about Joel Embiid, and mm-hmm. you know what? I'll believe it when I see it that he gets it. So everybody wants to let Joel be Joel. That's great, but mm-hmm. this is Joel. Right? Like, he can't even handle being sick to where he's got to text his coach in the playoffs, like, oh, I can't play 12 hours from now. Oh, I'm too sick. I can't do it. And, like, what are we talking about here? This guy is so soft. The hint of adversity on this team, and they fold and they crumble. And that's Joel Embiid. Like you said, this team goes as far as Joel Embiid will go. You're right. You're right. They're not winning anything without Joel Embiid being the Joel Embiid that we've seen, the talent that he has. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Let's start feeding him.
888-729-9494. Good luck. You can have Joel be Joel all you want. This guy isn't mentally ready to do it, and I don't think he's ever going to be. If you think you're winning with Joel Embiid as the lead dog on this team, you're nuts. All right? Because he can't handle it. He can't handle it mentally, and physically he can't handle it. So now you have a guy that can't do it in either category, physically or mentally. Right? You think that, like let me give you a couple names, right? Number 5. Andy Reid, Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, Allen Iverson, Eric Lindros, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard. Guys that have actually faced adversity and done something here in this city. Mm-hmm. The last two won championships, and they got ripped after mm-hmm. they won a championship in this city. Heavy criticism. What criticism are we talking about with Joel Embiid? On Twitter? Shaq? Some booze at a game? Like, give me a break. He can't handle that. What happens when there's real adversity?
He can handle it. He jazzed his
– Yeah, by saying bleep you to the crowd.
Yeah, that was his way of handling it. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily advise that. That's not the way I would go about doing it.
Does he realize what real heat feels like in this city? Because he doesn't realize what real heat's like in this city.
He hasn't
felt it. Right.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. And if he's not careful, it can flip. It can flip on him now. So I would say – all right now, you'd better,
yeah, be careful.
You'd better be out there producing.
And that's why he backed off a little bit after playing. The game.
Yeah, but he basically tried to lie. And
right.
We're not buying it.
Yeah, he didn't come out and say, no, I was talking to the crowd.
I don't know if he realized we saw the footage and read his mouth. And if he did, to say that I was just talking to myself to get myself pumped up, this fan base is not stupid. And so we know exactly what you were saying. It wasn't the first time you did it. You did it after a dunk earlier, and Al Horford did it the game before. So obviously you guys have conversed as a team, and it's like, hold on, our home fans are booing us? I remember Ben did something similar, not necessarily saying what Embiid said, but he said something to the effect of –
it was in the playoffs. He was
mad. Yeah, keep the same energy or something like
that.
Stay
on that side.
Yeah, stay on that side or something like that. So they've all had this – we'll clap back at you. Now, I will say this to the fan base. You expect these athletes to be all tough and not be thin-skinned. Let's put your big boy underwear on, John. Mm-hmm. Let's stop complaining. Let's put the big boy bridges on. This is supposed to be a tough town. Let's not get our feathers all ruffled.
Oh, no, we don't handle
– when a player decides – he wants to clap back at the fan base.
We don't handle the criticism well.
Yeah, now I would say don't make a habit of this, Embiid.
Yeah, but see,
you get one time and then move on.
I agree.
Like, I wouldn't spend next game doing that.
Jack, is this a major problem? The shushing?
I would not do that the next game.
I think starting a war with Philadelphia fans in general is never a good idea. It's why Donovan, Donovan never came out and did it the way that Embiid did. But Donovan didn't even do half of this, and people are still like, that guy hates us.
Yeah, but Embiid's a coward because he says one thing and does one thing, and then he backs down.
Huh?
Like he can't even, like, I mean, what did he do on the court? What was that about? It's about because he's mad at the fans because of the booing, and he's heard all the noise, mm-hmm. but then he backs down from it. If you believe it, then just say, like, hey, listen.
Own it.
I didn't think the criticism was worth. I didn't think
I
it
don't
was
like
valid.
Being booed by my own
yes.
fans.
Yes.
Barkley owned it. Iverson owned it.
That's because Barkley just don't want to waste time talking around stuff. Yeah, Barkley doesn't have time
right.
to be politically.
But Embiid realized
time with being politically correct.
He doesn't really want to be the heel. He thinks he wants to be the heel and
right.
he wants to be
you
this
don't
thing.
Really
he doesn't,
want to be
no,
the heel.
He doesn't know what he wants.
No.
888-729-9494.
I like when the players think they really do want to be the heel.
Trust me, you do not want to start a war with the
Eagles,
fans
Eagles,
and media in this town.
Eagles players do that too. They lose a couple games, and then next thing you know,
they get mad.
They get a little upset.
They
it's like, dude, just
it happened this year.
Yeah, just ignore everybody.
Happened last
like
year.
Like Jeffrey Lurie said. What did he say? Ignore the noise?
Mm-hmm.
That was his quote? Yeah, you got to ignore the noise.
Stay
man.
Off of Twitter.
Yeah, man.
Stay off of social media.
Yeah.
You know people are saying stuff.
Yeah.
Just stay off of it.
I mean, listen, just come on social media when you play well.
Yeah, you'll be happy all the time. Marks and Reese will come back.
You get the control when you go on social media.
Yeah, and by the way, all the people that were effing me on Friday, call back and say you're sorry today.
What happened?
Well, like Rasheem. I don't know how you sit next to that Johnny Marks every day with all the crap he's talking about Joel Embiid. All right, well, he just said F you to you, Rasheem. All right? 888-729. He did. 94-94. I told everybody last year this guy's a fraud. 888-729-9494.
I'm just going to guarantee it.
Marks and Reese. I was first on the Embiid fraud train, Ike.
That's not anything to be proud of. What are you talking about?
You know what? When I was watching the Eagles Amazon Prime thing, I was worried that they were going to have negative John pop up on one of the episodes.
And I was actually hoping it popped up somewhere.
Get rid of that guy.
All right, we'll come back. We'll start with your phone calls. 888-729-9494. Marks and Reese.
I mean, I don't care how it looks. I'm just playing basketball and, just getting back to myself. Just being a good asshole. Just playing basketball and just trying to dominate. Thank you.
Yeah, but you do care how it looks, and that's the difference.
Did he say thank you at the end of that?
He did, yes. Always very mature, Joel Embiid. But you do care how it looks. That's the whole thing. That's the problem, is you do care. And if it was just about playing basketball, there'd be no issue. But it's never about just playing basketball because you're unable just to play basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. Maybe this is just going to be kind of the newer player that's coming into the NBA to where it's not just about basketball. Maybe it's just his mentality. I believe it's more about his mentality than anything else. But, you know, he's got a whole lot of growing up to do, Ikey.
You know what I honestly think it is? See, I actually wish this was something that triggered inside of him. See, Joel Embiid is a guy who wants to be loved, wants to be liked, wants to make everyone happy. So this is more about frustration that he has within himself that he can't break out of whatever funk that he's in. Now, this idea that he's going to turn heel and all of a sudden be the villain in his own city, that doesn't work. That just doesn't work when you're the villain in your own city, in a city you want to stay in. Unless he's deciding he doesn't want to play here anymore, and next thing he's going to ask for is a trade, which I don't think that's the case. No, this is not going to work. This is right before the All-Star break. This is just a moment against a weak team where he put up some nice points. He was feeling good. He decided to thump his chest in that moment. He's a pussycat, man. You know this is the same dude that was balling in the arms of his girlfriend at the finals game. And I'm talking about the ugly cry. I ain't talking about the whimpering cry that I give. I mean, I'm talking about the ugly cry I gave when one of my friends died. The ugly cry where you're snotting and everything else. Yeah, that's the cry where your family.
I mean, he was inconsolable.
The family's embarrassed to look at you.
What about this cry?
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888. I'm sorry.
Probably somewhere
I'm
in between.
Very emotional.
Right? Probably somewhere
No,
in
that was worse than that cry.
Jack, what do you think it was about?
At least Joe was trying to fight back the tears. Joel was just let it all out.
Oh, no, yeah, he wasn't fighting anything back. He didn't have the Derek Carr face or anything like that, right. Where he was trying as a little
kid. He
wasn't
trying to fight it.
Snot rockets are about to come out. Nothing like that. Jack, and we'll go to the phones here. We have a nice long stretch here to take phone calls at 888-729-9494. What do you think it was about? I guess that's the question, because Ike's more or less saying, like, that was his chance to be like, see that? I am Joel Embiid.
Right.
Here's what I think it was about. I just think he's a big baby, and he was mad, and he was mad at the criticism he got all week, and he was mad at the booing, and he saw Horford do the shushing thing, and like you said, that's maybe becoming a thing with a couple of the guys, and Ben's probably looking at him like, you sissies.
Well, Ben, if you hit a jumper, I will shush. See, you hit that three-pointer, and we're all shush.
What do you think it was? Just him being – he's a baby.
No, I think he feels a bit betrayed by Sixers fans. He's never
– Part of it is that.
So you think he feels betrayed?
Yeah, because he's never gotten any criticism here ever. I thought he was trending towards the Dawkins-Utley territory.
Oh, stop it.
I thought he was getting there. I didn't think the city would ever turn on Joel.
No, but I remember
– effort is the biggest thing y'all question about the guy. But, Dawkins-Utley?
But I remember –
these two dudes died on the field.
But I remember –
Not literally, but
last year,
last
year after that, Landry Shamet did the interview saying that Joel Embiid eats, that he brings him 5 chicken sandwiches and milkshakes and all this other stuff from Chick-fil-A.
That was impressive.
No, but I remember being like, man, I would love to see how this would happen if it was Carson Wentz saying this or Carson Wentz dropping curses at press conferences and things like that, because Joel Embiid got different treatment than a lot of other people. That's changing. He's not getting the same treatment. Last year,
dude, we killed Carson over wearing a damn sweater with Santa shit.
I know we
ducks.
Do. Well, I know we do. Right. No, how about the video where Joel pushed that person at an Eagles game? No one even talked about it. The media never even reported it. Right? It was like it was brushed under the rug so bad. Listen, those days are over. Right? And I think he senses that. And if he's going to do stuff like this, people are going to get pissed. 888-729-9494 to the phones. Ivor in Lehigh Valley. Ivor, what's up?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How
what's
are you?
What's up, Ivor?
Listen, man, I'm done with this dude. Joel Embiid is a soft dude, okay? He runs up a big 7-footer, trailing the player at the top of the keys with his hands up like he's begging. I'm so fed up. This dude is on the clock, okay? I will take Ben Simmons over him any day because Ben Simmons plays with effort. Like his freaking hair is on fire, okay? I am so fed up with this guy, okay? I'm so freaking done, okay? He is on the clock. I want to see in the playoffs this dude dominate. Big 7-footer with the best feet in the game, standing around begging for the ball and crying every time. One day he have one itis, next day he got another goddamn itis.
So you're saying your patience is running thin with Joel Embiid is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm fed up with this dude. He's always crying about something. You know, we were so worried about his foot. Hell, we should have been worried about his damn head. That's where the injury is, in his head.
You're right.
The dude is soft, okay?
Ivor, way to get us started, brother, on Monday, man. Yeah, that's the type of fire and passion we need, man, right there. I wish that damn team played with this fire and passion. Keep Ivor out of the Wells Fargo Center until after the All-Star break.
Yeah, let him calm down a little bit.
This dude, he about ready to kill everybody down there.
But to his point,
yes,
we know about the physical stuff with Joel Embiid, mm-hmm. but it is. It's the mental stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you, and when you look at champions, man, and you look at how they handle adversity, this team, adversity, right down. If everything's going great with Joe, he's flying around like the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in the playoffs, doing dunks and everything else. And then two days later, he's sick and he can't play and he's moping around. Or, I mean, it's always something with him. He just can't go out and play basketball. Would it be nice just to go out and play basketball?
Yeah.
And win?
Sure it would.
And put out effort and lead your team, right? And win games, right? But see, here's what happens, right? Yeah. When your team is struggling, and the perception of you is that you're not giving 100% effort, that you're not totally dedicated to being the best basketball player that you can be, to where now you're fighting with the other quote-unquote star player on your team, people are going to feel a certain way about that. And that's what people were reacting to this past week. There was a lot going on with the 76ers.
Well, listen, if I don't think he played as bad as we are reacting to what appears like he may have played. Like, he didn't play as bad as the team may have played over that stretch. And I'm not saying he was good during that time. You had the game in Milwaukee where he certainly didn't look good, and he came back the next night against Memphis, and he couldn't finish the game, but he had gotten off to a good start. And he looked good yesterday against the Bulls. He looked good against Miami. He was one of the few bright spots in that game against Miami. And
he was good against
his
Miami.
His frustration boiled over in that game. Remember, that was the game he was standing at the top of the key yelling at
Ben the ball,
for throwing the ball to Mike Scott. So I think you got to get these two young guys on the right page. And to me, it starts with the head coach, right? It starts with the head coach. I keep going back to Shaq and Kobe because it's been rare that you had two young players, big man and perimeter player, that had this type of dynamic. Well, as much as Kobe may not have liked it, Phil Jackson was the one who decided, well, we're going to run the offense through Shaq. That's what we're going to do. Brett Brown has to decide you're going to run the offense through Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's what you – if you want the big man to be happy, to play at his best, to protect the rim and be dominant on the other end – you're going to have to cater to him. It's as simple as that.
I agree with you.
Don't be mad at him because he doesn't want to settle for scoring 18 points and getting 8 rebounds a night. Like, you decided to give him a max deal. You decided you're going to build a team around him. We're running the damn team through him. Get Al Horford off the court at the same time he's out there. Put Glenn Robinson in the lineup. Create some more space. Move Tobias to the four. Ben Simmons, please, over the last 30 games, shoot the ball at least once or twice in the game so you have a chance in the postseason. Because all this stuff, in the end, is not going to matter if they lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, even the second round.
When the game slows down. No, I'm telling you right now, I don't think they're getting out of the first round. That's my problem. I don't think they're getting out of the first round yet.
Mm.
And then you get in that second round, you're meeting up with Milwaukee. So I definitely don't believe you're getting out of there unless they move up to the 3 seed.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's plenty of time. They have a softer schedule in the second half to where you could run off some wins. But even then, by the way, our Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Celebrate the season of love and save at Mark's Jewelers now through Valentine's Day. 15% off of your purchase online, marks-jewelers.com. Let's go to Fran in New Jersey. Hello, Fran. How are you?
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
What up, Fran?
What's up, Fran?
Oh, man, what's up? You know what, man? First of all, let's say, Embiid, I don't really take that personal because this is Philly, this is South Jersey, man. We tough as nails, man. We know Embiid talks a lot, you know, when things don't go his way. You know, he's a big cream puff sometimes, man. You know, but the same token, he's a beast. Like, you know, but, like, if things don't go his way, you know, he soaks a lot, man. You know, he gets used to that kind of stuff. So some big guys just don't know how to take the good with the bad, you know what I mean, bitter with the sweet. But if we can, like you said, sit Horford down and use him as a backup center, like we signed to be, and so acting like he's more than he is right now, then we'd be much better. And I think there's a lot of part Kawhi be soaking, because he knows that Horford is not the answer, and he knows that Horford should come off the bench. If this is a Beeb show, and Ben Simmons got to come on along, you know, he's not going to shoot the ball, so we can't run offense through Ben Simmons. He's not going to shoot the ball. Beeb is the guy that we put our hat on at the end of the day, and we need to do it as such. Brett Brown needs to stop being soft and stop trying to cater to everybody else and cater to the one guy that matters is Embiid. That's it.
I'm telling you, Fran, because if we keep this up, in a year he's going to be asking to be traded.
Mm-hmm. Can it be next week instead of a year?
What?
Trade deadline's passed.
Yeah, I know. That's what. Unfortunately, when can they restart the trade deadline?
This summer.
This summer.
All right. After the NBA finals.
You're trying to trade Embiid?
I can't handle him anymore. It's always something. And every time I say it's always something, wait another week and it's always something else. And then you wait another week and it's always something else after that. Oh, I need to get back to having fun. That was a couple days ago. Was that he needs to have fun again? Now he's going to be back to being an a-hole. Is what he was saying last night.
Make up your mind.
After he shushed the crowd.
Yeah.
After he shushed the crowd.
You want to have fun or you want to be mad at everybody? So what do you want to do?
Yeah, what's going
to
be tomorrow, right? And then you have a nice long layoff. He's going to be at the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen at the All-Star game? Is he going to have something
Chicago,
to say at the All-Star game?
Be around Chicago, around all the other stars. You know, the Greek freak drafted him. You know, he's going to be sitting over there with Giannis. Giannis is going to be like, dude, Ben, won't you? Joel's like, yeah, talk to him.
Yeah, now they're going to be even further away from each other after the All-Star break, because the same guy's going to be going up and being like, yo, how come Ben won't shoot? Yo, how come Joel does this?
Why did Giannis take Joel Embiid first?
Because he likes him.
Are they good friends?
I don't know. Because think about it. What's the one thing you know? After they played the one game last year, after the game, Embiid said he's the most unstoppable force in the NBA, and then Giannis got mad about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. And he said, he told him something about you can't be.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And he picked him first.
He did, so maybe he agrees.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got off track with Giannis and his GM skills. He's terrible as a GM. That's 2 years in a row he's picked teams in the NBA All-Star team, and I could have picked a better team than he did.
Let's go to
My goodness, has he any clue about the way the game is being played today?
No.
He took Embiid with the first pick.
Yeah, I know. It's a good one. Let's go to Frank in Wilmington. By the way, so Ike this morning.
You could have took a guard. You could have took a wing.
Player. Ike, this morning I saw you on Twitter talking about how you would like Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not what I said.
What did you say?
Yeah. Well, I'm responding to our own WIP account that's throwing out their reasons why the Eagles are the second most likely destination
for Amari Cooper.
And everything, but I'm reading some of the Twitter responses, and you see people, I don't want a cowboy, don't sign another cowboy. Are you serious? I don't care what team he played for. Amari Cooper is what, 27 years old?
Yeah, he's still young, absolutely.
Still young, 26 years old, probably one of the 12 best wide receivers in football, arguably the best route runner in the game. And
so you take him.
I wouldn't even think twice about it.
All right.
If the Eagles wanted him, I wouldn't think. He's 25 years old. I wouldn't think twice about it.
Jack and Delco wasn't interested. I talked to him before the show. He wasn't interested.
He was furious with you.
He was. Frank in Wilmington's furious, too. Frank, what's up? How are you?
Oh, very good. Ike,
yes.
You either hit your head this morning or you drank a little bit too much Ike juice.
It's too early. You've been drinking that Ike juice. Ike juice.
You can't name me one of them cockroach cowboys that ever came to Philadelphia and did any good other than cause turmoil. Name me one.
That's a good point by you.
Stupid kicker.
No, it's a good point by you. I've even been on record as saying stop bringing in ex-cowboys. But that was during the season, Frank. That was when I was in my emotions about the Eagles being behind the stinking Cowboys. That was during that time. Once we get to free agency, I don't give a damn what team they play for. If they can still play and the Eagles can afford them, why wouldn't I – and it's a need of the team? Why wouldn't I want Amari Cooper?
Nah, Cowboy, he'll infect the locker room.
They have it. That's all you need. All you need to hear. No, I mean, you know.
Isn't he more of a Raider?
Yes. Well,
I don't think of him as a cowboy. He's not like a cowboy. Like, Orlando Scandrick was a cowboy.
He was a cowboy.
Yeah, like, you're Amari right. Cooper just DeMarco happened
Murray,
to play there.
DeMarco Murray was a cowboy.
Yeah, yeah, Jordan right? Dedarious.
Chris Bonio was a Cowboy. What other Cowboys have we brought here over the years,
yeah,
right?
I don't know. But
none of them have worked out.
Listen, I get the point. I've said it myself. Like, stop bringing in ex-Cowboys. I get it.
I would just rather pay big money for a corner than a wide
receiver. Amari
Cooper,
no, my point was if the Eagles signed Amari Cooper, we would all be happy. That's the point. Mm-hmm. That's the point that I'm making, is if the Eagles signed him.
The Cowboys are happy when they signed T.O. back in the day.
Yes.
He was an Eagle.
If the Eagles signed him, you would be happy and everybody in this town would be happy. Mm-hmm. It's easy to say that when you're sitting here, oh, I don't want this guy, I don't want that guy. Yeah, but you want a guy that you've never seen play as a rookie, and he's going to turn out to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
I don't want that. I can tell you that.
Right, right.
I'd
rather take a three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver who's 25 years old.
All right, so the question with Joel Embiid is the shushing a big deal? Larry on the cell phone. Larry, is this shushing a big deal?
No, it's not a big deal. And I'm so sick of everybody coming down on Embiid. When the real problem with the Sixers are Ben Simmons and Elton Brand. Everybody's sick with Embiid shooting, tell Ben Simmons to shoot. You sick of him having low numbers? Well, why did Elton Brand pay all this money for Al Horford and let J.J. Redick go? I mean, you got a dominant big in Embiid. Put some shooters around this guy just the same way they did with Milwaukee and Giannis, and none of this is an issue. We all jumping down on Embiid about shooting. Tell Ben Simmons to shoot. If Ben Simmons shot the ball, we wouldn't even be having none of this discussion right now. The Sixers would probably be one of the most unstoppable teams in the league if that boy just decided to shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to get off Embiid and put the attention where it belongs on Ben Simmons not shooting and this team that Elton Brand put together that makes no sense.
All right, I mean, listen.
Well said, Larry. I agree.
You left out Brett Brown, but you're not holding Joel Embiid accountable at all, which is wrong, which is part of the problem.
No, I get. I mean, he's immature. I get that. But one thing we can agree on was when he last year was immature, he was putting up numbers. Then they get in his ear about maturing. Now all of a sudden he's trying to mature, but now his numbers are down. Like, I'll take a guy who's immature and put up numbers. Look at Kevin Durant with those burner accounts. Mm-hmm. That's immature, but that boy was putting up numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
he was.
I don't care if you want to be immature, as long as you put them numbers up.
But you know what, though? Like and it's what Ike was saying
KD
earlier.
Recently said he's going to keep a burner account. I don't know how that works when you tell everybody it's a burner account.
Well, you just don't know what's a burner, one's a burner account, which one's not.
Yeah, he said he's going to keep one.
No, but you said this earlier.
Yes.
Is Embiid one of those guys that always needs something going on to really motivate him? Like, I'll give you an example, and it's kind of off the beaten path, but the Patriots always – somehow they'll turn it around to where they're favored to win a Super Bowl, but somehow the world will be against them and they believe it, right?
They need that little motivation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It drives them, right?
Yeah.
But I don't feel like Joel Embiid needs something to drive him.
Well, he hasn't earned that yet.
But he's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like some guys need something to like the Eagles in 2017. It was the dog mask. It was because everybody was picking against them. No one did think that they could win, and that really drove them. So I understand that if this whole shushing thing would be like a way to rally the team. I don't believe that. Because I don't believe they all believe it. If Al Horford can't score, but he's leading the shush patrol, what does that even mean? You've got to score.
Well, that's why I said, I agree with the last caller. I won't say it's all Ben Simmons, but that's a part of it when you talk about the offense. But the other part is Elton Brand putting this team together. I mean, this team being put together, Tobias Harris couldn't cure all of your shooting woes. Now, luckily, Furkan Korkmaz is turned into
– how about that?
What he's turned into. I don't know how long he can keep this going, but you're certainly going to need it. Once the postseason hits, he's turned into somewhat of an option as a scorer. But this team Elton Brand put together was not a championship team. They didn't necessarily fit around each other. There's no way they could have thought in today's NBA somehow Al Horford and Joel Embiid fit together and complement each other. What hell? You could throw Al Horford, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons out there.
Yeah, no, that's
it's all three of them, really, because Ben is most effective the closer he is to the basket.
Yes.
You want Joel Embiid playing closer to the basket.
Right.
You want Al Horford playing closer to the basket certainly don't want him shooting 12 three-pointers in a game.
No.
Right?
I don't even want him even touching the ball.
I mean, listen, it's okay to have a big man who can shoot, but he shouldn't shoot more than 3 three-pointers a game.
No. Like,
because sometimes he's going to be left open and he has to shoot the ball, and it's nice to have a guy who can do it.
There's also nights where he maybe is feeling a little bit more.
Okay.
And, he's three for five.
He's averaging about 6 a game on average.
What else is
he
going to
do? So some nights he's taking 12 of them. That's what I don't want to see.
Wade and Chester's checking in. Ike?
Wade?
Yeah, Wade's a big Sixers guy. Hi, Wade.
What's up, gentlemen? How are we?
Hey, Wade.
What's up, Wade?
We are fine. How are you?
We're doing fine right now.
I'm pretty good, man. Pretty good, man. But listen, man, when I last heard you guys, we were on Friday, and y'all was defending Joel Embiid and criticizing Shaq and Barkley for saying what John, you're saying that he's soft today.
No,
I'm like, what the
no.
What kind of show are we listening to now? Yeah,
No. What I said was that Shaq was out of line, and what I thought Barkley said was fine. I wasn't saying whether they were right or wrong.
Right.
What I was saying was that it was unnecessary by Shaq, is what I thought.
Okay, I got you. But anyway, I do have Embiid as being soft. Only in the because he's a young guy and he hasn't been playing this game quite long enough to know the ups and downs and the flows of this thing. You know what I'm saying? And then to compound this thing, he's in a city that is very demanding. You know what I'm saying? So his game has not really lived up to what Embiid that we were waiting for when we drafted him and said, okay, we know we're going to not be able to play him for this first year. It's just too up and down, and I want more consistency out of him in order for him to be a star player, because right now it seems like we're just lacking starship. I mean, we got the names, but we don't have the game. We don't got that dominant presence on the court at night in and night out.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that as NBA players, you're going to have some off nights, but he's got way more off nights than good nights. That's a problem, right?
I think
that we need to address that.
I won't necessarily disagree with you on that, Wade. I think there are, whether I classify them as off nights or I just say he's not dominating nearly enough as he should given the talent that he has. I completely agree with you on that. And coming out of this All-Star break, I'm going to have to hope that he finds another gear to kick it into. Here's the other thing, right? February, these guys start to get worn down a little bit. You're past the halfway mark. They're looking at Chicago as a week off. Guys have vacations coming up who aren't All-Stars. So the play gets a little choppy heading into All-Star break. But
looking ahead.
Yeah, this is also supposed to be a time you recharge your battery and you get ready for the second half, which is really 30 games left there already? There are over 50 games already. So the All-Star break isn't necessarily the halfway mark, right?
No, it's the rest up for the home stretch.
Yeah, when you come back, there are going to be about 30 games left to go, and he needs to kick it into high gear coming down the stretch.
5 games in February so far. Here's his point total. 11, 29, 19, 10, and 28. And, he got hurt against Memphis. They took him out. The game was over. Shouldn't count.
Hold on. That's the other thing you guys aren't doing that you've been a little bit unfair.
What?
The guy's out there injured. And he's playing. If he wasn't playing, we'd say he was soft. How long does it take for a finger to get well? He broke his finger.
You're saying he's always hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he is.
But he's playing. He's playing. Why? Hold up.
Whoop-de-doo. So he's playing through. He's playing through an injury.
Wow. So you
and
can't,
his play
so
suffering.
You get no credit for playing injured.
I don't think.
And one of these guys take off these extra days and they sit out because if they can't come back and be 100% healthy and play like you all expecting to, then he's going to be criticized. So he may as well take the extra time and just sit.
If he hurts the team, yes, he should.
He's not hurting the team.
Well, he didn't last night. He has a couple times, but I mean, overall,
the team. It's not he's hurting. You think they'd win these games if he weren't out there?
6 for 26 against Milwaukee.
Listen, they could have him out there, Charles out there, and AI out there. They're not beating the Bucks. It's the best team in the NBA.
Okay. Well, I mean,
so if you think
that game didn't help them.
Yeah, they're going to beat the Bucks on the road without Embiid? No.
Well, if he's shooting 6 for 26, man, he's
okay. I don't know what to tell you. I don't even hold the loss against the Bucks against them. It's the best team in the NBA.
Let's go to Aiden in Voorhees, New Jersey. Aiden, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
All right.
Aiden, you sound exhausted, brother. What's wrong?
Philly sports playing with my emotions, man.
Yeah, man, it's not been a good year.
Talk to us, man. Talk to us.
Well, you know, I don't understand why people are putting so much hate on Ben or Embiid. I really think we got to put it on Brett. I feel like he's a really nice guy, but I need him gone. And Brand, he may have put together the most terribly constructed team in the NBA.
Yes.
Like, the fact that Al Horford is shooting more threes than the rest of the starting lineup, I don't even know why he's starting at all. And I can't believe we're relying on fourth and fourth to drop 30 every game in order to beat the Bulls.
Yep.
Yeah, we got to come up with a nickname. Is it Turkish? He's Turkish, right? I think so, right?
The Turkish something that starts with a T? I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
he's about to be our
two games in a row. He's unbelievable. Man. Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Glenn Robinson III looked good yesterday. Got out there, ran around a little bit.
Yeah, he was fine. It was fine.
I'm just trying to get excited about the team, man.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
Get excited.
I'm aggravated.
Is that copyright? I'm sorry about that.
What?
Nothing.
I'm aggravated. I am. I'm aggravated. I just want to watch basketball. I don't want to have to constantly have this soap opera and this nonsense, and it's always something.
You kidding me? I love a good soap opera.
Well, I mean, it's good for us. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie about that. But you know what I like? What I like as a fan when it's not good for us.
Listen, this team has one personality on it, and it's Joel Embiid. Ben's personality is like watching paint dry.
Yeah, not much personality.
So yeah, we know there's nothing there with Ben Simmons. He's straightforward. Now listen, it works for him. He's pretty much straightforward. He's focused. He's all about the business. But Embiid wears his emotions on his sleeves, so we know when he's happy, we know when he's sad. Then he can't necessarily control himself, so he has to say something, right? He has to say something. And tomorrow, I mean, I expect him to have a big game tomorrow. It's against the Clippers. It's a good team coming in. Is that game on national TV?
Seems like
it would be. Sixers, Clippers, no?
You would think, right? It's a Tuesday night game. The TNT.
Yeah, that's
does
not TNT.
I don't know. My internet's not working right.
Seems like that's a game they should have. Anyway, I would expect them to come out. Yeah, it's a game they have. I would expect them. Oh yeah, another Tuesday with Charles.
Oh, you ready? Buckle up, Ikey.
Another Tuesday with Charles Shaq.
Put your seatbelt on. God forbid.
This is after the
FU.
Oh, so that'll be a topic of discussion tomorrow.
Charles can get his high horse talking about how he treated the fans here.
Oh, my God.
It'd be great.
Jeez, what a mess.
But this is usually when Embiid responds pretty well, so it could be big.
And he knows it's going to be a TNT game.
He knows that this is the first
against
time he's
the Clippers.
Yes.
First time he's been on TNT since.
Since then, yes, yeah. Since last Tuesday. Well, no, since Thursday game was a TNT game, right?
Yes.
The Bucks game was a TNT game.
Yeah, no, they're going to be seeing a lot of these national
games. Yeah, they're one of the better teams.
Yeah, no, especially if Shaq and Charles are going to rip the star player every night, for crying out loud. Let's go to Bill in Pittman, New Jersey. What's up, Bill? How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank goodness for the Turkish trifecta last night, lighting it up, because we would have lost that game without him. But Embiid should have been cursing at his teammates for not getting him the ball. He had two guys covering him that could not hang with him at all, and he should have had 40 points last night, mm-hmm. and he didn't get him the ball enough in the low blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, wah. It's what I say to that. Wah. Well, I mean, listen, Bill. There's no doubt about it that a new coach needs to come in here and more or less say, hey, this is what we're doing. And I agree. Joel Embiid should get more touches and should be more of a focus on him mm-hmm. on the offense. But can he handle that, Bill? Can he handle that? Can he handle that for 65 games that he plays?
I mean, everybody's freaking out about the shush sign. Look at the bucket he scored right before he did that. He was right under the rim and flipped it up over his head and scored.
He could have been doing that all night if they'd gotten him the ball down there.
Mm-hmm. So why did he shush? Why did he shush everybody, Bill?
I don't think he should have. I think he should have been on his teammates for not getting them the ball. All right, and yeah, he's a little bit temperamental, a little bit thin-skinned. That's fine. I'd still pick him as my center on my team.
Mm. All right.
I agree.
Appreciate
it. I don't know how the hell the Sixers won that game last night. The whole starting lineup is in the minus.
Yeah, Furkan.
The whole starting lineup is in the plus minus. They're all in the minus.
Yep.
Conversely, the whole bench is on the plus.
That was
side.
The only plus, yeah.
Mike Scott is a plus 12. Glenn Robinson the third, plus 11.
That's where really
Furkan
they took their,
plus 14.
They took their two big runs that, yeah, I mean, listen.
When the bench was in.
Well, the starters, they came back and Bulls came back and tied it.
Yeah.
In the second half. Yep. So, Ike.
You don't see that. You don't win very many games when your whole starting lineup is on the minus side.
No, not normally. No, not like that. Not like that. All, so, quickly, they had an all or nothing the Eagles show on Amazon mm-hmm. Prime. A lot of people watched it this weekend.
I did.
I got a lot of text messages because we were featured in it.
Some good stuff. I don't know if featured.
For about five seconds?
Yeah, featured is the word I would use to describe it.
We were on it?
I missed it. I missed part of it.
We're in episode four towards the beginning. So
I heard one part where I said they have to learn how to beat or win close games.
Yep.
That's all I got out of it.
No, so Doug
goes. All this damn knowledge over here, and that's all they threw in there?
They lose the game. Doug goes on with Angelo, guarantees a win. They show the noon press conference where he walks it back, and then it goes directly to us from Chickies and Pete's, and we're talking about it. And I'm being negative John saying, I don't believe in this team right now. I don't believe in this team short term.
What?
And then, yeah, and then you were like, all that matters is they make the playoffs. That's all anybody cares about.
Yeah, I missed that. I got to go. Which episode is that?
Four.
Okay.
It was early on in episode four.
I started
four.
Watching it Friday night, man, and I was out. I fell asleep. I didn't get to see all of it.
You had your takes were good, Ike. I mean, they were both like the Eagles are making the playoffs after, I think, the Cowboys game.
Mm-hmm.
So when everyone was like, oh, season's over, Ike, the voice of reason.
I laid down the gauntlet and said, yeah. We're in. Okay.
We're going to make the playoffs.
That's typically right. What I do.
So that was good.
Yeah.
It's on brand for you.
That's on brand.
Everything's
yeah.
fine.
Mark, I'm going to give you 60 seconds to give an all or nothing review because we're up against it. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to say, man, after watching that, it took me back to Nelson Aguilar being mad at him. But what I took ultimately from that was Josh McCown, how big of a part he was. People ain't get to see it, but watching that show.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point.
You really – I just want to tell him, if you can send it to him, thank you.
Mark,
for what he did for the franchise.
Hey, Mark, it was my number one takeaway. Now, I missed the middle episodes because I missed the whole middle part of the season where things really got bad. I saw the beginning and I saw the end. But to your point, if you look back at my tweet Saturday about the show, the number one tweet was Josh McCown needs to be back here, either as the backup quarterback or an quarterback's coach. I don't care what it is. Fire the quarterback's coach is here now. I don't give a damn. Josh McCown, if you watch All or Nothing, dude, seriously, Josh McCown and Carson Wentz are like this.
Yeah, it's a good relationship.
It's like this. And he is the voice in the ear of Carson Wentz that I feel is needed. He's a coach on the sideline. He's in tune to what's going on. He's even talking to Doug, giving suggestions for plays. Like, Josh McCown, you pulled your hamstring. It's a wrap. You play 18 years for 40 different teams. It's over. Go into coaching.
Yep.
Go into coaching. We can use you here in Philadelphia. Man, I guess they tried to get him, and he decided he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he knows how rigorous it is to be a coach.
Man.
Just let him be the third quarterback that never plays.
Okay, yeah.
Who
how
cares?
About that? Sign him as a third string. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
All right.
Yes.
We agree.
Yes.
All right, coming up.
He could be the guy that never plays, yes.
Jack, is this exclusive audio you said that we have?
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Brett Brown was asked today how he feels about Embiid shushing last night. John Johnson asked Brett Brown. And I don't know what he said, but I'm going to tell you what I think he said.
Yes.
See this right here? It's a circle. He talks around in one big circle.
Good visualization right there.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's not going to tell you anything about it. That's my prediction. 888-729-9494. It's Marks and Reese. We're back with that and your phone calls. Don't go anywhere.
All right, fellas, Valentine's Day is this Friday, so check it out. There's a brand new technology that's going to drive your wife or girlfriend wild for Valentine's Day. Now relax, it's probably not what you're thinking, but it's even better. Now it's called Micro Velvet, created by PJ experts at Pajamagram, and it's found only in their Tempting Touch PJs. Now these Tempting Touch PJs are simply the softest and most luxurious pajamas ever imagined. I mean, they're addictively soft. Addictively soft. Yes, they are. So soft, they beg to be touched. Go to Pajamagram.com to get her the blissful comfort you know she deserves. Now, this is a higher level of soft. I'm talking softer than her sweetest dreams and yours. Now, they're relaxing to wear and irresistible to touch. And when she's happy, you'll be happy too. A Valentine's gift has never felt this tempting. Plus, you don't have to wrap because guess what? Every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. And delivery by Valentine's Day is guaranteed. So make sure you visit Pajamagram.com today. Again, that's Pajamagram.com and tell them Ike Reese sent you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.